Jesus made it very clear to his disciples that there would be many speaking in his name as the end of the age approached. These days, when you talk about Jesus with someone, you have to find out which Jesus is under discussion. That's why Erwin Lutzer is quashing some rumors that reduce Jesus to a mere man. Rumors that have grown up into entire denominations. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on rumors about Jesus. He'll tell us about the Jesus of Mormonism, a Jesus who, believe it or not, is said to be Satan's brother.
I talked to this Mormon and he believes exactly as we do. Those are the words of an evangelical Christian who knows the Christian faith and who was witnessing. Is God our Heavenly Father? The answer is yes. Was Jesus Christ God? Yes. Is Jesus our Savior? Yes again. Recent years, Mormons have been repositioning themselves to appear evangelical. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir has blessed homes for many decades, and Bibles are being given away. So the question is, who are the Mormons, or the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, as they like to point out? Their church, they say, is built upon Jesus Christ. In Independence, Missouri, the Mormons have renamed themselves. They're called the Community of Jesus Christ. So how big is the divide between what we call Mormonism, or as they prefer, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, how big is the divide between their teaching and our teaching? Now, those who attend here regularly know that I'm in a series of messages entitled Rumors About Jesus. And we're talking about different understandings of Jesus, such as the Jesus of the Da Vinci Code or the Jesus of the Jesus Seminar. So today we come and we ask this question. Let no one leave here and saying, well, you know, he attacked Mormonism. It's not my desire to attack anybody. All that we're doing is making a comparison of teaching and saying, is this the same Jesus that we're talking about? That's fair enough. That's fair enough. And furthermore, it is important to understand as we go through this, I'm going to be doing some reading, particularly because of the quotations, but I'll let you know where this is going, and then at the end of the message, I will surprise you by quoting someone who agrees with the thesis that indeed it is a different Jesus. Because I think what we're going to discover is that Mormons use our vocabulary but not our dictionary. They use our words but they do not use our definitions. For example, let's just begin with a very basic question. The question is, how many gods are there? That's a good question, isn't it? I was going to talk to you about Helmut Tillich, the great German theologian who was bicycling through Europe one day and was ravenously hungry because he had had no breakfast, and he came to a shop that said hot rolls. So he got off his bike, very excited to go inside, and discovered that it was not a cafe, it was a print shop. What was on the window was simply an example of the kind of lettering that the print shop is able to do. So I need to tell you today that what we're going to do is to go behind the words, and we're going to go into the print shop and see, is this what we're talking about, and is it compatible with what we believe? But let's begin with the question of how many gods are there? Well, the Mormon doctrine originally in the Book of Mormon said that there was one God. But Joseph Smith, he evolved in his understanding, and in 1842, he said that the true translation of Genesis reads, the head of one of the gods brought forth the gods, and after that the heads of the gods appointed one God for us, Elohim, and thus Elohim became the God of this world. How many gods are there then for the Latter-day Saints? Well, Brigham Young was asked the same question, and he said, I do not know how many gods there are. But there never was a time when there were not gods and worlds, and when men were not passing through the same ordeals that we are passing through, he said. In 1844, Joseph Smith gave what is known as the famous King Follett Discourse. It was given at a church in conjunction with a funeral. And he revealed a great secret. And the secret is this: God himself was once as we are now, and that is an exalted man, and he sits enthroned in yonder heavens. In fact, he says, if we could pull back the veil, we'd discover that there was a man in heaven who was a man just like Jesus Christ became a man. He continues, we have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil that you may see. It is the first principle of the gospel, he says, to know for certainty the character of God and to know that we may converse with him as a man converses with another, and that he, God, was once a man like us. Now think this through. If God was like us, you can see that the difference between us and God is really not one in kind, but one in degree. This is very important to understand, that in this theology there is a continuum of beings, and all beings are basically on that continuum. So Smith continues, here then is eternal life, to know the only wise God and true God, and you have to learn how to be gods yourselves and kings and priests to God, the same as all the gods have done before you. So you can see here that, one more quote, I've got too many here and I must rush, but the head god called together the gods and sat in the grand council to bring forth the world. The grand counselors sat at the head in yonder heavens and contemplated the creation of the worlds. In the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of the gods. They came together and concocted a plan to create the world and the people in it. Could I hurry along, but I need to give you a very famous quote that's found throughout their literature. I think it was originally given by Lorenzo Snow, the fifth president and prophet of the Mormon Church. As man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may be. Salvation is really a quest for divinity, the same kind of divinity that Jesus has. Even Dr. Stephen Robinson of Brigham Young University, who wants to prove that Mormonism is Christian, said, it is indisputable that Latter-day Saints believe God was once a human being and that human beings can become gods. Well, if we can't agree on the number of gods there are and the nature of God, so far it's not going well if we think in terms of compatibility at these points. But the focus of my message is the Mormon teachings about Jesus Christ. In fact, in a pamphlet entitled What the Mormon Church Thinks of Christ, there's this quote. Christ is our Redeemer and our Savior. Except for him, there would be no salvation and no redemption. And unless men come to him and accept him as their Savior, they cannot have eternal life in his presence. The booklet goes on to say that he, Jesus Christ, is the Savior of the world and the divine Son of God. But remember, folks, we're talking about the same words but different definitions, the same vocabulary but a different dictionary. So what do Mormons teach about Jesus Christ? First of all, Christ was a created being. In fact, all human beings lived prior to this life in what is called preexistence. And in the book, The Doctrine and the Covenants, which is the highest form of authority, we read, from the time of their spirit birth, the Father's pre-existent offspring were endowed with agency and subject to certain provisions. The pre-existent life was thus a long period, undoubtedly an infinitely long one, of probation, progression, and schooling. Christ the firstborn was the mightiest of all the spirit children of the Father. James Talmage says in the Articles of Faith, among the spirit children of Elohim, the firstborn was and is Jesus Christ. And how did Christ come about? Christ came about through a sexual relationship between Elohim, who was an earth god, and his celestial wife. Later, in order to produce the body for this special spirit child, the Father God again had relations, this time with the Virgin Mary, who then became Jesus' earthly mother. I'm going to comment on that in just a moment. Secondly, Mormonism teaches that Christ is Satan's brother. since Satan and his demons were also pre-existent spirit creations of Elohim and so forth, let me just hurry to the quote. I can't give you everything that I have here. Jess L. Christensen, director of the LDS Institute of Religion at Utah State University, writing in A Sure Foundation, that publication, says, both scriptures and the prophets affirm that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are indeed offspring of our Heavenly Father and therefore spirit brothers. Jesus was Lucifer's older brother. Now remember, the difference between Jesus and Lucifer is not one in kind. It's a matter of degree. They're all on the same continuum. Will Jesus Christ reign as King of Kings and God of Gods? Yes. But so will millions of other people reign in the same way. As Brigham Young said, all men are King of Kings and Lords of Lords in embryo. Mormons deny the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Mormonism denies that Mary was pregnant as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. It proclaims that Jesus is the Son of God in the most literal sense. The body in which he performed his mission in the flesh was sired by the same holy being whom we worship as God, our eternal Father. Jesus was not the son of Joseph, nor was he begotten by the Holy Ghost. He is the Son of the eternal Father. Let me quote again, Stephen Robinson, who wants to make Mormonism appealing to Christians and show that they are one and the same. Thus, God the Father became the literal father of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only person on earth to be born of a mortal mother and an immortal father. The official doctrine of the church is that Jesus is the literal offspring of God. He's got 46 chromosomes. 23 came from Mary and 23 came from God, the eternal Father. Well, my dear friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and the reason that I've preached this series of messages on various views about Jesus is that you and I know that what we believe about Jesus determines our destiny. And make no mistake, there are many people who use the name Jesus, such as the Mormons, about whom I'm speaking now on this broadcast, and they use the name of Jesus, but they have an entirely different Jesus in mind. They have a Jesus that is really unable to save anyone. You know, I'm told that in Mexico and other places in Latin America, the name Jesus is very popular. And so when you hear about Jesus, just know that that name has been applied to many, many different boys throughout history and will continue to be applied and given to various sons. And just because somebody talks about Jesus, it may not be the right one. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he feared that the people in Corinth were being led away to another Jesus. Well, I encourage you to stay tuned, because next time we're going to continue this message on Mormonism, showing why it is that the Mormon Jesus is a different Jesus, and why it is that the Jesus of the New Testament is the only one who is qualified to save us from our sins. So, I'll see you next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Dr. Irwin Lutzer brought part one of a message on the Jesus of Mormonism, the third in his series on rumors about Jesus. Tomorrow, more of the teachings of the Latter-day Saints. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Rumors About Jesus can be yours as a 5-message CD series, sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Make it a point to tune in tomorrow for our next Running to Win.